Hi, we're so happy you're here, and we are so excited to tell you about an awesome wedding planning resource that we have created just for you.
In March of 2021, we launched the Big Wedding Planning Masterclass, a digital course designed with you in mind. Any budget, any type of wedding, at any phase of wedding planning.
We spent a year creating this interactive course. It includes unlimited access, all of our templates, spreadsheets, timelines, checklists, and pro tips. Everything is downloadable and customizable, and we walk you through it step by step with video tutorials and screen shares.
We threw it all into this course. There's no way you won't get something out of it. We're so sure, we've included a 30-day money-back guarantee.
We're so excited to share this course with you and to help you plan your wedding our way.
So go to www.thebigweddingplanningmasterclass.com for more information and to sign up and to purchase. The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening today, or tonight, whenever you're listening.
Or this morning.
This morning, yes.
Could be whenever.
Yeah, welcome. As always, we're coming to you from our closets. I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth area, and Michelle is in the greater Boston area. And we're both wedding planners, and we talk about wedding planning stuff. And today we're going to do answering some of your questions, which is some super fun stuff that we like to do. So we've gotten a bunch of questions from recently engaged people or people who have been engaged for a while. I don't know. Has your friend Marielle been engaged for a while?
She's been engaged for a little while. She is, so every Saturday we go for breakfast, husband and the two kids. We go to the same diner every Saturday morning before I go teach a yoga class. It's delicious. It's fantastic. And it's like one of those neighborhood diners, you know, that small town diners where everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
And you see all the same people.
You're like, this is why we moved here.
I
love it so much.
Yeah. And I noticed right away when Marielle had a ring on, I'm like, what? You're engaged? And that was around the time that you and I had been talking about doing the podcast. And I said, listen, you got to email me whenever you have questions.
Right, right. We're trying to keep a running list going.
Yeah. And it's so fun to watch a bride as she morphs into the bride.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Have you found that your friends, like friends or casual friends or even like lifetime friends, when they get engaged, they almost don't want to bother you? As if like, if I had I have a lawyer cousin. He's like the only lawyer in the family. So I know that whenever anybody has like a law question, they call Randy or email him, even if it has nothing to do with the kind of law he does. I wonder if it gets annoying for him being the only lawyer in the family. And when my best friend got engaged, I was like, ask me anything. I'm ready to jump right in. Like, it's not going to be too much. I want that. I'm a professional. This is like the thing I have to offer you. And she's been really, I have to ask. It's like she doesn't want to annoy me with boring wedding questions. And I'm like, this is what I do.
I live for this.
You're only going to do this once. I do this 12 times a year. I want to help. I mean, I don't want to help on the day of, but, you know, I want to help. She's like shy about it or awkward.
Huh. I haven't had anybody really close to me get married, actually. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
My cousin who got married last year, In Paris on the 4th of July, actually. I mean, we had a little Pinterest board going and we would chat from time to time. And I was going to be a guest and we talked about things. But he like had it on this, you know, yacht in that very famous river where the Eiffel Tower is. It was amazing. But he was probably the closest relative relation to me that has been married since I've been a wedding planner, which is crazy.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. The first... Should we jump right in?
Yeah, we should just jump in. The first question and answer here.
Well, it has to do with bridesmaids. So how do I, as a bride, coordinate bridesmaids' dresses when all my maids live far away from one another and they all have various job situations going on and they're particularly complicated because everyone's out of state?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then also talking about bridesmaids that may or maybe could be pregnant near your wedding. What do you do about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I've had many weddings where one of the bridesmaids or the maid of honor was very pregnant.
Yeah, me too.
I think it leaves like a sour taste for me when the bride is really hung up on it. I feel like, don't be hung up on that. Like it has, they're separate things. Your wedding is separate than her starting a family or having her second kid or whatever. So there's usually not much we can do as planners to, I don't know, mend fences or feelings in that case. But I don't know. I wish it wasn't something that brides got hung up on.
Well, I think the biggest, because it's really often that bridesmaids are, or let's say wedding party people are don't live near the couple getting married or have crazy schedules. We all do. We all have stuff going on. I think if you are, you know, dead set on all the bridesmaids wearing the exact same dress, well, yeah, that can be quite challenging, right? Personally, I recommend that you allow your bridesmaids to just kind of choose their own dresses in the same color. You know, if you choose a color that is easy to match, and then let them choose their own dresses, then you're eliminating the problem of them all having to get the exact same dress from the exact same store.
Right.
Having to come in for a fitting. And then if you do have people who are pregnant and going to be hugely pregnant around the wedding day, they have the option of finding a maternity-friendly dress. That's what I would recommend.
Right. I definitely think it's rare that a bride picks six people to be in her wedding party that all live in the same town and they all go shopping together and it all works out. I don't think that happens very often.
And so, they're all like 5'11 and, you know, 130 pounds.
I have just recently done a wedding where all the bridesmaids could have been models wearing sample sizes and they were all blonde. And it was, I think I sent you a picture. Did I send you? Or was it of the groomsmen? Because they too were like these walking runway models as wedding party. It was very weird, actually. Like I did a double take, but typically your maids or, you know, are going to have to buy their own dress anyway. So if you let them pick one and you just told them a color, then they're going to pick a style that flatters them. There's also a couple wedding websites, wedding bridesmaids dress websites specifically. Weddington Way is one. And even J. Crew and Ann Taylor, those websites have, you know, you pick a color like plum and it's all the exact same shade and the same material. And there's five or six different styles. So that helps with that situation. I actually think
Anthropology too. Anthropology has a wedding line.
Yes. Beholden or BHDLN.
Yeah. Something
like that. For the hipsters. Yeah. And there's lots of sites. I mean, ModCloth does them too. You probably get 30 sites that you could order these kinds of dresses from. I actually think the dudes have it harder because those guys, you actually, t- typically do all go to Al's formal tuxedo or whatever, at least around here, and get fitted. And they're all a little bit ill-fitting when you're renting a tux. I mean, I love it when grooms and their people, anybody wearing a suit, including women, but I love it when those suits are suits they own and they're tailored, even if they're all a little bit different or a little different shade of gray. I think they look they just look so much more
put together.
Yeah, put together when it's their suit. My husband rented, and he next to my brother next to, you know, the groomsman that was 5'5", they all look like they're pretty much wearing the exact same tux. Like they could have switched tuxes and they would have been the same. So it just was very like, I wish we had kind of sprung for that, especially the older we get. Like a grown man, you know, if not a tux, he should have a formal suit in his closet.
Yeah.
You guys are like purging closet stuff over there. Yes. I'm sure you're going to keep a suit in the event that you guys get invited somewhere formal.
Yes.
He'll have something.
He has a suit he bought a few years ago from Ludlow, actually, J. Crew. It's great. And it's navy. It's a dark, dark navy. So it translates well. And yeah, I think it's a good idea to get your own suit and have it tailored to fit you. And then, you know, it's always like, okay, and now also all the guys are going to wear a white shirt and they're going to wear a black tie. And then that way they're uniform in that way. But
yeah,
it's tough, for, you know.
Oh, we did get another question about black tie weddings.
Yes.
What is the difference between black tie and black tie optional?
Yeah, so that was Marielle again. She wants to have a very formal wedding, but she's confused as to what the actual difference is between saying on your invitations if it says black tie or if it says black tie optional, and which would be the best option to put on your invitation if you want a very formal wedding. So black tie, when you see black tie, that means the man is going to wear a tuxedo.
And the woman is going to wear a gown.
A gown, an evening gown.
So floor length and more formal than most of us have in our closet at any given time, I think. And black tie optional is a suit, a nice suit, but know that they're going to keep their jacket on. Like my husband's more casual. You know, he'll unbutton the top button and loosen the tie and take the jacket off. If it said black tie, he'd be wearing a tux and that would be that. And if it said black tie optional, we would know it's just one tiny step below black tie. He's not going to wear a tux, but he would be wearing his best suit and it would be on the whole time. His shoes would be shined. He'd have the cufflinks on. It's still very formal. I think exclusive black tie, when it says that on the invitation, people have certain expectations about the venue and the type of wedding it's going to be. And you're asking people to get out their best, and you sort of have to put forth a highly elevated event in that case. I mean, I would think ballroom. And the women are going to all be in heels and all be in, almost all, in floor-length gowns.
Yeah, so it should really definitely be appropriate, the venue, like you said. It should be a ballroom or a country club, something of that sort. And it should be an evening event.
Evening, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
We have the same brain because it's something about the photos and just, I mean.
Well, you're not going to wear a tux.
Yeah, you don't want to wear a tux for an afternoon.
At 12 o'clock, you know, or even a 2 o'clock wedding. Like, that's not, doesn't make sense.
The black tie weddings that I've only done a couple, and I love them. I love them because it just feels sort of like old school a little bit, like Rat Pack kind of cool. But the ones that I see, that we see a lot of, that get, you know, magazine spreads and are on the big blogs, a lot of times that is very late. Like they are New Year's Eve ceremonies, or they're at, you know, the, I don't know what, Rainbow Room in Manhattan, and it starts at 8 and goes until 2 in the morning. So it's a whole different ball game, I think.
Yeah. It's a Ritz-Carlton, you know, ballroom. I did one at the Fairmont in San Francisco, and the, what is it? The Golden, what's that ballroom called? The Golden gold. Oh, I forgot. Crown Room, Gold Room.
I can't remember, but I did one there too at the very, very, very top.
Yeah. With those very crazy chandeliers. Gorgeous views. Yeah. Yeah. And at the Westin St. Francis upstairs. Yeah. And then black tie optional for me. That means you can wear a tux if you want.
Yes.
Certainly welcome, and it would be appropriate, but you don't have to. And so they're typically going to wear like a dark suit. Like you said, keep their jacket on. So it's going to be a nice tucked in shirt, crisp white, you know, shirt. And the women will either wear really nice cocktail dresses or they can wear floor length gowns.
Right. And the ones I've done that said black tie optional, it was about half and half. About half the women like pulled out the big stops with the beaded gowns, and the other half were wearing, you know, really nice cocktail dresses, like you said, and really nice shoes. So it still feels very hoity-toity.
And I think it probably should still be an evening event. Mm-hmm. Unless you're taking some sort of venue and you are completely transforming it inside, right? And just making it this whole other world when they step in. You know, and you're going no stops, like renting things, you know, like making it something other than what it is, which is also can be really, really fun, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, if you put the words black tie, whether it's optional or not, on your invitation, you're setting the expectation for what it looks like. So, and what it's going to feel like and the whole thing. Ceremony, you know, could be in a big cathedral. It doesn't all have to be in a ballroom, but it'll be interesting to find out what she ends up doing. So keep us posted.
I'll talk to her on Saturday. I'm going to be like,
will
hey,
you get invited?
Up?
Are you that good of friends?
Oh, no, I doubt it. No. I would definitely be on the B list, probably C list. No, I'm just somebody she sees. I'm one of the customers. She knows my kids. She knows what we order, but. So let's move on to another question.
Let's do that. What are your best tips for saving money on some of the major expenses?
That's a good one.
We've gotten a couple questions about budget and money, of course, because that's very confusing and important and all-consuming for people. So what are your best tips for saving money on some of the major expenses? And then, you know, also how do we work with venues and vendors to help get prices down?
So they're talking about negotiating.
Yeah, there's such an art to that. So,
well, she's really wondering, like, can you work with venues or vendors, or are their prices typically firm?
Yes. I just had a long conversation with a catering sales manager at a big hotel in downtown Fort Worth, one of the older ones. Like, if you're going to have a 500-person wedding, this is the hotel to do it at because they have the big enough ballrooms. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how almost 9 times out of 10, her answer is going to be yes when it comes to concessions because she wants to book the wedding. They have a minimum. They work on commission. That's her job, is to book these weddings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she doesn't know why she loses weddings to other venues. She's like, I don't know, maybe they see our chairs, our banquet chairs, which are kind of ugly. And they just think like, oh, I don't know, for that much money, those chairs are ugly, so we're going to go somewhere else. When if they would just ask, we like everything about this, but we don't like those banquet chairs. She's like, it's the easiest. I would say, we'll rent Shivari's for you. And I'll include that in the price. If they're checking the boxes on everything else.
Yeah.
You know, and they have the budget. That's a relatively small thing, but people don't know to ask. So I think my tip would be venue managers are open to custom building a package. I wouldn't say they're open to like a ton of negotiation. They're going to give you all these freebies.
Right.
But you don't know the answer unless you ask. So venue managers are maybe more than any other, definitely more than any other wedding vendor, I think there's wiggle room because they want to book that room for the night. So there's wiggle room on, well, the bridal suite, we want that for free, or we want, you know, an extra champagne toast thrown in there. There's ways to get more bang for your buck, but you have to ask.
Yeah, I think also if you're breaking it down and talking specifically about venues, hotels specifically, you can definitely negotiate. And like you said, it might be a no to no, you know, we can't drop the price on that per person right. meal. However, I'm happy to, you know, throw in the bridal suite or give you an a midnight snack or, you know, an extra hour.
Right.
You know, they can throw things in. Other venues that don't have catering, for example, that are just renting the space, sometimes, like you said, always ask.
Right.
Always ask, right? And that doesn't hurt. They're not going to go, oh my, she just asked us to negotiate and that is it. You may not have your wedding here. Like, that's right. not going to happen.
If it's a hard no, they're just going to say, I'm sorry, we can't do that. But there's...
And you're like, okay.
They have a lot of room at hotels because it's in-house catering and that's the mm-hmm. big moneymaker is their per head food and beverage. And the fact that you are guaranteeing, you know, 10 rooms a night being booked out or whatever for your guests.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a lot of hotels now, almost every hotel is associated with a larger company. Like the Marriott owns almost, you know, they just bought a bunch more hotels. They own everything
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But there's ways to get points and have your honeymoon nights paid for. Because mm-hmm. you booked your wedding there. Oh, you get two free nights if you stay in one of our resorts on your honeymoon if it's within 12 months of your wedding. So there's other ways to help defer costs later
yeah.
if you are asking the right questions and doing a little bit more research on the front end there, especially if it's a luxury chain of hotels.
Yeah.
Because they want you to come back and you're not going to come back with another wedding. So.
Right. I will say now, apart from venues, just talking about vendors, you know, your photographer, DJ, your wedding consultant.
I think less open to negotiation.
A little less open to negotiation, depending on how far out you're asking for their services, right? If you're asking a year out... It's very likely they're going to say, sorry, this price is firm, because it's very likely that if you do not choose them, they can book.
Yeah. A lot of factors go into that. If your wedding is in July in Dallas, I'm calling photographers now for a wedding in July, and I'm calling some for my clients that I know their price is not something my clients can afford. And I'm very nice and flattering. I'm not trying to nickel and dime anybody when I call. But I say, like, I would really love to work with you. My clients love your work. They have this, you know, their budget is $4,000 tops. And I know that's usually, you know, your packages are usually more. But it is a Friday night in July. And July is a huge slow season here. So I just wanted to let you know and let me know what you think. And, you know, that's that. You have to move on. What you can't do is call and say you want everything they offer in a certain package. And this goes for any vendor. I saw your package breakdown online. I want all of that. Okay, great. I'll send you over a contract. Oh, I want all of that for half the price that you're mm-hmm. that you posted. I mean, I get those phone calls and it's insulting and frustrating because mm-hmm. that is no room for conversation about, well, here's what I can do and let's customize this package. It's just you... As a person planning a wedding, you can't call vendors and say you want what they offer and you want to pay, you know, 50% of what they charge. That's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. even if there are other factors, like it's a slow season or it's a Friday wedding, it's still uncouth on the front end to start conversations with vendors that way.
To start it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a way of doing things. And like I said, you can ask, but don't be, I mean, you know, like, don't think, hey, listen, I'll hire you if you give me 50% off. And of course, I'm going to be like, okay, well, we're just not a good fit.
Right.
I mean, you got to do it with some sort of like, you have to be able to speak in a way that is respectful
right.
and be realistic. I will say, as a wedding consultant, and I always remember this in our training with Joyce, is that what did she tell us? Wedding consultants do not discount their pricing. And that is because
I rarely do.
They rarely do. I have. It's not like I haven't, but it's very rare because we are not giving a tangible item. We are giving our time and our expertise. And it's very likely if you're working with a wedding consultant and she or he is assisting you in planning your wedding, any vendor that we reach out to is going to be a little more flexible in maybe negotiating pricing because they know that we're probably going to call them again and we're going to hire them again for another client as opposed to a couple just coming to them and, you know, getting married once, hopefully, fingers crossed, and never hiring them again. Potentially, obviously, recommending them, but...
But they also, vendors might be more open to negotiating their price if you do have a reputable wedding planner already on your team because certainly for photographers and DJ, they know if the wedding planner is, you know, an awesome wedding planner, they know that their job is going to be a little bit easier, a little bit smoother, and have a little less, you know, guesswork going into it.
On the wedding day.
So that is also an argument for the wedding planner being one of the first vendors you hire and not expecting your wedding planner to go down in price, but potentially save you money in the long run as you're hiring other people. I wouldn't say that I negotiate on my client's behalf. I don't like the situation where they send a contract and say, this is the photographer's contract. Will you call him for us and ask if, you know, he'll do it for $1,000 less or whatever? By that time, that makes me uncomfortable. But on the very first phone call I make to vendors on behalf of my clients when I'm trying to put together a vendor list and vet vendors to get the right people, I talk about my client's budget so that it's very transparent. This is what we have. If you can't do it, I'll hit you up the next time I have a wedding that might have a bigger budget.
Yeah.
But if you're interested or you'd like to work with me again, because we've already worked together once, not like, again, I'm threatening you. But if you'd like to work with me, you know, we had such a great time last time, then they might be willing to go down in price for my clients. So,
yeah,
I always tell something to consider.
Yeah, I always tell my couples, if the price that the vendor gives me is fair and I know what is a fair price because I do this for a living, I'm not going to negotiate or nickel and dime. Absolutely not.
Right.
I won't. If it's inflated, yes. Yes, I will say, hey, come on. You know, this is a little high. What can we do here?
Right.
Definitely.
But asking questions and leaving it in, and this goes for any vendor or venue salesperson or manager, asking questions about how we can work within a budget rather than your question being, can you do everything you do for half the price?
Yeah.
You know, circumvent negotiating by coming up with a plan with the florist and rather than just saying, I want all those flowers, but I can't pay for them. Because that's sort of a no, it's a stop. Well, then I don't know
how
else.
Then you can't have them.
Yeah, I don't know how else we can continue. They cost a certain amount of money. I have, you know, I have insurance to pay. I got to put food on the table. So good luck.
Yes. All right. I think that's good. We move on to another question.
Yes, we should get one of these like kind of fun ones. What about the flash mob?
I haven't done one. Have you?
Choreographed wedding party entrances, dances, or flash mob, yay or nay? That was the question. I have done one. I was in one and I was like the main organizer of it. So I am I'm a bad person to ask this question to because I fucking love choreographed dances and flash mobs and anything that is a surprise for the bride and groom that took a ton of behind the scenes organization.
Yeah.
Anything like that, I love. But that is not for everyone because I know some couples would be like, I would kill my friends if they did that at my wedding.
Yeah.
That is not me. So I'm totally biased. I 100% love that kind of shit. And I wish it happened at more weddings because I think it's just so cool that people were sort of plotting and rehearsing something without the couple knowing.
Yeah.
Or when the mother dances with the son and it's this choreographed like YouTube viral thing and they've been practicing and it's a surprise for the bride. I just love that stuff. So
yeah,
that's my take on it. What do you think?
Well, I feel like when these kind of questions come to me, like, what do you think? Should we do, you know, what do you think about a choreographed wedding party entrance? Yay or nay? I'm like, my opinion doesn't matter here. This is your wedding. Like, it depends on you. Like, do you like it? Freaking do it, man. It's your wedding day. Like, do it. If you don't like it, don't do it. I did do a wedding. Oh, I loved it too. This was several years ago at Cole Mansion, I think. They had a ton of their college friends, and they were in one of those fraternities where it was an African-American couple, and they had their fraternity brothers and sisters there, and they had this I don't see. I didn't go to college. I don't understand this totally, but they had their songs and dances. It was amazing, Christy. It was like I was like grooving, and they were all like, they all walked in line, and they were like clapping, and it was like almost everybody at the wedding knew this dance.
I love
that. And so the bridal party started it, and the whole crowd was in it. It was awesome. It was so cool.
I love those. I love them because they're group experiences that everybody that's a part of it is going to remember it and talk about it. And every time they see each other, it's just, remember that time?
Yeah.
I love it. And it's, you know, something like that is like steeped in tradition. And I'm sure even was generational. Some of the parents probably knew the same.
Yes. And that's what I talk about with unique weddings. Make it so representative of the couple, not a cookie cutter wedding. Like, I'm all for that stuff.
Yeah. So that there you have it. It has our stamp, our joint
there
stamp of approval.
Yeah.
And then what is the most extravagant or unique wedding request you've ever worked with? Have you done an Indian wedding that had a horse as part of the Bharat? Okay, so you did deal with the whole parade.
Oh, yeah. We shut down Union Square in San Francisco.
I thought that was your story. So that has to be yours, right? I mean, that was Banana Town.
That was awesome. It was beautiful. I mean, people hated us traffic-wise, but it was at the Westin St. Francis, and the groom came in on a white, what are they called, Clydesdale horse. Beautiful.
The furry.
Yes.
They're like parade horses. I don't know.
Yes. It was absolutely gorgeous. And I love Indian weddings. They're so colorful, so much music, the food. Are you kidding me? Like, it's amazing. That was a big one. That was a big one. Getting the permits and getting that all squared away. The traffic cops.
They do like a walk around the block, or in that case, Union Square.
Yes.
With all the wedding party, or is it just the men and the groom's on a horse?
It was the groom. It was the men. It was the drum player, I forgot the name of it. The pundit, he was there too. He was doing it. That's the person that marries them. And she watched it from upstairs, like in the hotel room.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Out the window. And it was so amazing to watch them go all the way around Union Square, like from where Tiffany was, and like around Nike Town, through Macy's, back around Westin St. Francis. It was awesome.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome.
Another wedding I had there as well many, many years ago had probably the most ice sculptures I've ever seen.
Oh, that was like their thing?
She loved ice sculptures. So she had different stations. She had one of like, I think it was a bird. And she had an entire bar made out of ice with their monogram carved into the ice and a luge, you know, so where you pour the alcohol down this ice luge and it comes into the glass. And then her signature drink had what do you call that ice that makes smoke?
Oh,
dry ice. Yep. The lighting was insane. That was a really over the top wedding. That was fun. I've actually had a couple of groom requests that they were really excited about that the bride shut down right away. Boom. I had one guy who wanted to come in on a helicopter.
Oh, okay.
Like, he really, really, really wanted this. And she was like, no, no, no. I mean, and up until a couple months before the wedding, he was still, like, working on her. And she just was like, this, no, we're not. That's just ridiculous. And then I had another guy who wanted to rent, like, a badass sports car and, like, have them arrive in the sports car and, like, take it for a drive. And she's like, no. Like,
really?
Just, yeah.
Not to do the exit with the sports car.
No, no, no. He wanted to arrive.
Oh, he wanted his own grand entrance.
Yes, yes. I've had a couple of those, but they've been shot down. They've been no's. Not by me.
They were wedding extravagant touches that could have been. They almost were, but for a dream squashing bride who
well, I think it was more like, this is not about your ego, honey. This is the
yeah.
This is our wedding. I was like, really? I would. And then she's like, no. I'm like, oh. Because it would have been fun to, like, just as a wedding planner, like, do that. Like, it would have been fun. But yeah. I want to, this Kimberly Farrell asks you, you talk about 50% of your budget on the reception costs. If we are using my parents' backyard, aren't we going to spend less and save money?
Yes, you are. Absolutely. No, just kidding. It's probably going to be more. It's definitely going to be as expensive as a venue, if not more.
If not more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fairly easy conversation to have with people, I think, because when you and my friend Lauren is doing a backyard wedding, my best friend. And there she went into it with her eyes open. But when you start talking about everything you have to rent and bring in from extra porta potties to you know, flooring, tenting, if you're going to do that, umbrellas, stuff for temperature control. But that is stuff that I think couples think of. What they don't think about is how the caterer has to set up a kitchen and the silverware needs to be put somewhere after it's used and the amount of space that you need to make this work. For a traditional, typical wedding, I think backyards or private estates are almost always going to be a little bit harder to plan and more complicated, more logistics, and more expensive. Mm-hmm. Unless, you know, you have the kind of estate that is built for these events and it all makes sense. And I think that's rare. But I mean, you're looking at renting butter knives and thinking about all of that is a way bigger job than you think it is going into it. So,
and there's bathroom situations depending on how many guests you have.
Yeah.
And noise ordinances and pools, swimming pools that have to be covered, liability issues.
Yeah, neighbors, HOAs.
Parking. Parking is a
parking,
huge.
Parking, valet, yeah.
And then only that, but, like, do you have a place where the valet can put the cars? Is there a school nearby? Like,
right.
Yeah.
And there's going to be money that needs to be allotted for cleaning up afterwards, not just getting people off the property and emptying trashes and stuff. But, you know, your yard will take a beating and there might be some stains or things that were stepped on or dragged into the house. I mean, I would advise part of your budget to go towards post event. You know, if it's your parents' house and it takes a little bit of wear and tear, then you'll have some money set aside to pay for it. So,
yeah,
I love backyard weddings or weddings at locations that mean something to the family, even, you know, a park and some tree that is sentimental for whatever. I love that stuff because that location is always going to be there, or the idea is that it will always be there. And so your future kids could be playing in the same backyard that you got married in. That is really sweet, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you're really into that idea, it's worth doing the extra work that you're going to have to do. And that goes back to our overriding advice about everything to make your wedding about you. But it's not going to save you money. I think we can say that with confidence. It's not going to save you money to do it at a house or a estate if you're going to have a normal guest size and all that.
Yeah. Unless it's a small wedding. I mean, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's small, then yeah, it probably will save you a little bit. But again, what's small? You know, right. Like 50 or less.
Right.
Yeah. I like this one too. My partner and I agree on colors, and that's about it. He wants a very casual, relaxed wedding, and I want black tie. Is there hope for us?
No, there's no hope. Just call it right now.
Listen, this is what marriage is about. It's called compromise.
Yeah, and compromise. You agree on colors, so that's something.
Yeah.
I think budget in that case is going to help make decisions on which of those two styles you go.
Yep. So listen to our budget episode.
It's one of the first things you should be thinking about and talking about with each other anyway. So agreeing on colors is great. And I'm sure you'll find several things that you agree on pretty easily. But the budget is could maybe be the deciding factor when there are big elements that you don't agree on.
Yeah. And also listen to the episode about don't get crazy. Like, is there hope for us? Of course there's hope for you. Remember what you're doing. Remember what you're doing. You're in love. You want to spend the rest of your lives together and bring two families together. That's probably more important than relaxed wedding versus black tie, right? So compromise, work together, be realistic with your budget. And think about your guests also. Think about who is going to be there. Is it really black tie or is it more relaxed or is it something in between?
Your there demographic. Think about your, who's going to be there of your loved ones.
This Kimberly has got some really good questions.
She's a writer. So I know she puts a lot of time into it whenever I ask her to write me stuff.
She asks, our dream venue is only available on a Tuesday next year. Is that totally weird to book a wedding on a Tuesday? Well, that's going to help cut costs.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
It's not weird. You have your wedding when you want to, but keep in mind that some people that you invite won't be able to swing it, especially if they're traveling.
Well, I mean, yes and no. If you give them enough advance notice, that might even end up being less expensive for their travel because apparently, you know, like, what is it? Midweek is the least expensive days of the week to travel. And, you know, they ask for the day off. Of course, some people can't afford to take days off of work. You know, again, consider your guests, but it's
you're
not
right.
Totally
if there is
weird.
Enough advance notice, then you're kind of throwing it all out there right a year out. So what's the difference between that and a Saturday? I've done two weddings on Mondays.
Yeah, I've done Mondays.
And one was a Monday of a non-holiday weekend. It was just they wanted the Westin St. Francis and it was a Monday.
And they could afford it.
And it was a little bit last minute. He was the baseball player and it was spring training time and all of his baseball player friends could come to a Monday, but they all had to be back in Arizona for training on Wednesday. So that was the reason for that. That's why it worked out. If I got invited to a Tuesday wedding, I would think it was cool, but I would feel like I'd be like on my husband, make sure you take Tuesday, Wednesday off so that we have the next day and we can spend the night in a hotel, you know, so we can make it a real thing and not like rush back to work. That's just a benefit of doing it on a weekend. But I think midweek weddings are cool.
Yeah, I think so too. So yeah, I think that's enough Q&A for this episode, don't you?
Yeah, that's okay. These are good questions and they're kind of all over, but send us your questions from our website or from Twitter, and then we'll put them all together and sort of address them this way. I think once we get enough questions coming in too, we can maybe answer a couple every time we record.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, definitely. So what's the Twitter handle?
Twitter's probably the best place to reach us. It's at TBWP podcast. TBWP podcast. The website is
thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And as always, thank you, Christy.
Thank you, Michelle. This is so fun.
It is so fun. And thank you all for listening. And if you have a moment to go to iTunes and subscribe, or even write a review, or even better yet, recommend us to some friends, we would be ever grateful for that. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.